Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that you truly are the lover of our soul. Thank you again for your faithfulness to us in this way. Thank you, too, that you were willing to go the way of the cross. You were even willing to give yourself to temptation. And through the written word, you have gained victory over Satan and his temptations. Thank you, too, for your word this morning. And we pray your blessing on Lauren as he preaches from it. May he do so with confidence and boldness and present the truth in its entirety and its purity. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Greetings to each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be gathered together here with you again to worship the Lord. I've been blessed the last few weeks as I have watched the Spirit lead and what he once shared here at church. I've had to switch the Sundays I was going to preach twice. And now, as most of you know, we have communion tonight, and the last two messages, the message that John preached last Sunday and the message that I'm planning to preach today, are both taken from the Last Supper. And so that was a blessing to me to see how, you know, God works in our lives. I was not originally planning to preach this message right before communion, but here we are today. And so today I've chosen to take my message from John chapter 15. John has, Bontrager here, gave us a good background of these chapters leading up to the crucifixion of Christ. And he gave us a message from John chapter 17 last week. And so this Sunday I want to take a look at John 15 and what Jesus presented to his disciples as they were eating in the Last Supper, probably as after they were done eating here. And the word picture that Jesus gives us here is something that we are very familiar with living in this community, in this region of the state. He talks about the vine and how that the Father and the Son work together to feed us, the branches, through the vine. And so at this time, I'm going to read starting at verse 1, and I'll read to verse 8. John 15, starting at verse 1, says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." So going back to verse 1 there, where Jesus introduces this concept of the vine and the branches, he tells us that his Father is the husbandman. And so today I've broken this down in a couple of different sections. The first one, I'll be talking about the husbandman. The second is the vine. And then the third, I want to talk about the branches, which are what we can relate to. And so starting out talking about the husbandman. And a husbandman is referring to a farmer. It's talking about a land worker. And he works the soil. And so I can really relate to the husbandman here as we think about caring for things, caring for our crops, our animals, and here it's talking about grapevines. And so the husbandman here is our loving Heavenly Father. He nurtures us, he protects us, and he's prunes his vineyard. And that's the part that we don't like sometimes, is when he prunes us. And so I just want you to think about the husbandman and what he does. As you know, as a farmer, we take samples from our soil. We see what is lacking in the soil that these our crops are being planted in. And so I think that's, you know, the Father is feeding the vine so that we can live and we can live well. He waters the soil. And in this environment, in this community, we can't really water our crops, but we're actually taking water away from our crops. So the husbandman makes sure that it has the proper watering. He protects against diseases. I'm amazed at the amount of spray that these vineyard guys put on their crops. They're spraying over and over again. They're protecting their vines against disease, against funguses. He spends much time in his vineyards observing the branches and to see what they need. He's providing the optimum growing environment for his vines. And so I think that's how our Heavenly Father is doing for us. He's providing for us, he's caring for us, he's protecting us. And that really blessed me as I looked at this passage, how that God is looking out for us. And he also, I believe he spends time observing our lives and seeing what we need. You know, sometimes we just walk through the barn and we look at our cows and see what they need, if they're comfortable, if they're well fed. And sometimes you'll catch things that if you weren't spending time with them. And I think that's how God, he's interested in our lives. He wants to see us be successful. And sometimes I think I've had maybe the wrong picture of God. We think that, you know, God is just trying to keep us, he's like a lord over us. But I think I like to think of God as our Father. He's a caring Father. He doesn't want to see us fail. He wants to see us succeed. And as I was thinking about those along those lines, I thought of Matthew 6. I'm going to turn to Matthew 6, and that's where he talks about feeding the fowls of the air. In Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, I'm not going to take the time to read all that, but he talks about God clothing the grass of the field. You know, the grass comes and quickly fades away. He feeds the fowls of the air. And so sometimes we can get, worried. We can get taken up with providing for our daily needs, as our physical needs. But God is there. He's providing for us. And if we seek God first, he'll add those to us. I think we need to rest in the care of God. I think the hard part of those verses is that, you know, we have an idea of how God should provide for us. And sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And that's when we can have a hard time trusting God, that he's not providing for us the way we would like for him to provide. And also in 1 Peter 1:3, it says, "According to his divine power hath he given us all things that pertain to life, godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." There again is a promise of God providing for us. He gives us all that we need. There's nothing lacking. It's up to us to seek his will and to accept what he has for us. So secondly, I want to look at the vine. And the vine is Jesus. And so as we think about the vine, Jesus is our connection to life. We talked a little bit about Eve in the garden this morning, how she yielded to temptation. And so our connection with God was cut off when Eve sinned. Sin came into the world. And so God sent Jesus to this world to reconnect us to God. Jesus is now the way that we are connected to God, the way we draw our life. And as it says in these verses here, it says, "Without him we can do nothing." And that was sobering to me as I thought about that. You know, it's not we can do a little bit without him. It's not that we can do half of it without him. We can do nothing. And we might think that spiritually, but that's also physically. Just think about all that you have. Sometimes maybe if we have some skills that help us be financially successful, we can become a little proud of that. But it's only because God has given us that talent that we can be successful in that. God gives each one of us talents to use in a different way. He gives us life. He gives us our family. He gives us this church here. And it was really a challenge for me to, again, think about that, that without Jesus, we are nothing. And I also was blessed with the thought of, you know, him taking up the nutrients that as we think about the vine pulling the nutrients out of the soil, so he feeds us life from God. He's the source of our fruit, and without him, we become unfruitful. And it's only through him that we can be fruitful. And so it was a challenge to me as I thought about that, you know, that we need to be connected to Christ if we want to be fruitful. You know, sometimes we can get distracted by the things of this world. We can start trying to draw our strength from other things. But it's only in Christ that we can truly have life and that we can truly bear fruit. And then as we think about what happened after this chapter, we think about how far Jesus was willing to go to give us life. You know, within a day or day after this, Jesus showed us how much he really cared. He went to the cross and was willing to die at the hand of very cruel men. Over the last few weeks, I've been reading through the Gospel of Matthew, and it really stood out to me this time as I read through the account of the crucifixion, the disdain that the Pharisees had. They were spitting at him. They were hitting him. And if we think about the anger and the hatred they must have had for Jesus to treat him in such a way, and yet Jesus was willing to do that humbly and meekly without resisting. I know sometimes it doesn't take near that much for me to get angry and upset. Milking a cow and getting hit in the face has given a new meaning to getting hit, turning the other cheek. And the anger that wants to well up within you and hit back. And so I don't think that comes anywhere close to what Jesus experienced as he went through the mockery of a trial that he faced here. But I thank God that he didn't stay in the grave. Death wasn't the end for Jesus. And as we take part in communion tonight, it's encouraging to see that he did not let them have the victory, but that he rose again. And that gives us life, that gives us hope. And in that way, we can bear much fruit. And so maybe getting in more to the practical side for us is I want to look at the branches now and consider the branches of the vine. As we think about a vine, it needs a caretaker. As we think about the vineyards around here, we see men out there working through the bitterly cold days, pruning them. We see them caring for them pretty much 365 days a year. And so the vine takes a lot of care, and that caretaker is God. We need the branches need the vine to supply us with life, and we need a structure to grow on. You don't usually find a vine on the ground. Normally, it's crawling up a tree, it's crawling up a house. It takes over. You'll see. I like the look of an old house with a vine growing up at the side. I know some people probably don't appreciate that very much, but I think it looks pretty, like a nice brick house with a green vine on it. And so as I was thinking about the structure to grow on, I think that's our brotherhood, that's the church. It creates something where we can thrive and grow. And as I think about a vine growing vigorously, I think that's how we as Christians need to be spreading the message of hope to this world. We need to be creating beauty in the world we live in, and we desperately need that today. So as we look at this chapter, we see that there are two types of branches. There's the fruitful ones, and then there's the unfruitful ones. A vine can be a great blessing to people. You can harvest the fruit. You can make all kinds of delicious things out of it that we can partake of. Or you can have a branch that bears no fruit. It basically just takes up space and takes away nutrients from the other branches. So I think the challenge I want to leave with us today is, which type of vine are we going to, which type of branch are we going to be? Are we going to be a fruitful one? Are we going to be a blessing to our families, our communities, our world? Or are we just taking up space on the vine and taking away from the other branches? In verse 2 here, it talks about the branches that bear. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So there's obviously going to be branches that are not being fruitful. And they'll look good for a time. And so I was thinking about this, you know, we can become maybe a fake. We can let hypocrisy take over our lives. We pretend to be part of Christ, but inwardly we lack the vigor and life that a fruitful branch needs. We want to be seen of men, but we're not honoring Christ. And then in the end, these branches will be cut off. These branches take away from the other branches. They take up space where there could be a fruitful branch growing. And so I think we need to be, challenges to me, to be contributing to the kingdom of Christ, not to be taking away with it, taking away from it. We would be cut off from the vine and burned if we are unfruitful. And that was a really sobering thought to me. And, you know, as I was studying into this, I was thinking about pruning, a new thought that I came across was, we are not pruned because of our unfruitfulness. We are pruned because of our fruitfulness. And so if we're not experiencing the pruning of God, maybe we need to be checking into our hearts and seeing how fruitful we are being. A few examples of unfruitfulness that I want to take a look at this morning are taken from Matthew 25. The first parable here is the one that speaks about it compares the kingdom of heaven to a man who traveled, he left home and traveled to a far country, and he had three servants that he gave talents to. And he gave them different amounts of talents. He didn't give them all the same amount of talents. And so I think, you know, we are not to compare talents that we have, the amount of talents we have. We are just to be faithful with the ones we have. And so here there was one that had five talents, there was one that had two talents, and then there was one that had just one talent. And so the first two servants, they took their talents and they doubled them. They multiplied them. They went out and they were fruitful. But the second one, he was afraid. He just sat on his talent. He hid it in the ground. And he was scared, I guess, of his master. And the master comes back and finds, you know, the first two servants had doubled their talents for him. And the second one had still only had the one talent. And so he cast out the unprofitable servant, says, into outer darkness. And so I think the challenge is there for us is that we need to be doing well with what God has given us. We need to be fruitful with God has given us. And so not only did this servant only have one talent, now he had none. God took away from him even what he had. And so I think we need to be very careful that we do not shirk what God is calling us to. Sometimes it can be easy to try to do that, not follow God's leading our lives. But we need to be careful that we don't shirk those duties, because God will take even away from what we have. And as I was thinking about that, You know, a lot of things we do in life might not seem like our big thing right now. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about compromise. I really like that point that Jim brought out about compromise. Satan wasn't asking Jesus to do a big thing. It was one small thing. And so I think as we have our talents, as we're faithful with those, you know, one step at a time, we're drawing closer to God. If we don't use those talents one step at a time, we're moving away from God. And so the challenge I want to leave with you with the unfruitful branches is, you know, the danger of being unfruitful isn't that we would consciously decide to not be fruitful, but by many small choices, we remove ourselves from God and we slowly become unfruitful. We let the concerns, the pleasures of this world crowd out the things of God, and eventually we find ourselves in the position where we're an unfruitful branch, and God will cut us off from the vine. So moving on to the fruitful branches, and the part that I found exciting is how we can be fruitful in the kingdom of God. These branches are, I trust, all the branches we want to be like. And it can be exciting to be a part of God's kingdom and producing fruit in his kingdom. And so as I mentioned earlier, a fruitful branch requires pruning. We see that over and over again as they prune the branches of the grapevines around here. They do that to help create fruit, not to take away fruit. And so sometimes we can resist that pruning. It can be painful, but God is doing it to help us bear even more fruit. Jesus is saying, you're already fruitful, but I want you to bear even more fruit. And I want to read from Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. It talks about chastening of the Lord, producing more fruit. So let's turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, I want to start reading at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with a son. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are ye all partakers, then are ye bastards and not son. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So here we see that, here it calls it chastening, but the pruning of God produces the fruits of righteousness. And as painful as it is at times, it is to draw us closer to God. It is to help us to be more fruitful. And in 1 Corinthians 11:32, it says, we are chastened so that we are not condemned with the world. God is sparing us from condemnation through the chastening that he brings into our lives. He's pruning away the things that help, that keep us from being fruitful. And so it gave me a new appreciation for the pruning of God, not to resent it, not to resent the pain that it brings at times, but to appreciate that God is cutting away the things that keep me away from Him. So I want to look at what does a fruitful branch look like. And the thing that I was really challenged with, it bears the fruit of the vine. We don't go to a grapevine to pick peaches or apples or oranges. We go to a grapevine to get grapes. And so if we are bearing the fruit of the vine, we are bearing the fruit of Christ. And as I was thinking about that, my mind went back to where the believers of Jesus were first called Christians. And I found a quote that I would like to read to you about the Christians in Antioch. So the city named the disciples in the church. The community named them Christians. Why? Because of the message they were sending. The church and the disciples walked like Christ. They talked like Christ. Had integrity like Christ. Ministered like Christ. Were servant leaders like Christ. In short, they just lived Christ. The city named them Christians or little Christ. The Christians of that day were earthly definers of Christ. They defined Christ by actions, not the religious rhetoric that was so prevalent in their day. God wants more than belief and worship in church. He wants faith and love in action outside of the church. God desires to connect the message with the audience through the applied practice of Christianity. After all, most people know what you are by what they see, not by what they hear. And I was really challenged by that, is to, you know, as we're called Christians, we are to be seen as little versions of Christ. And that really challenged me. And, you know, if we only worship Christ at church on Sundays, I'm afraid we are becoming an unfruitful branch. If we don't let God change our life during every day of the week. And also my mind went to the fruits of the Spirit when we think about a fruitful branch. We think of love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You know, as we go through the hard times of life, are we showing those fruits? Are we showing love? Are we showing peace, gentleness? I think it can be very challenging at times. And also, as we are fruitful, we will abide in Christ. You know, as I think about abiding somewhere, we're there for the long haul. We're not there just for a short visit, but we stay with Christ. We are abiding in Him. And as that relationship, as it grows older, the longer it goes, the harder the branch clings to the vine. And that's what I think about as we abide in Christ. And also, as we look at verse 6 and 7, here it gives a contrast of the fruitful vine compared to the unfruitful vine. Verse 7 tells us, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Here I think is a picture of someone that is so in tune with God that they're asking the will of God to be done. They're praying in a way that will honor God. They're praying in a way that God will answer them. You know, we can look at verse 7 in our carnal nature, be like, you know, I want to abide in Christ so I can ask whatever I want and it'll be done. But that's not the case here. We are so in tune with God that we want His will to be done. And also in verse 8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." And, you know, it was a blessing to me as I looked at that. You know, we want God's kingdom to be built up on the earth. We want God to be glorified. And He is glorified by our lives when we bear much fruit. You know, as I was thinking about that, I believe that's, to me, is the ultimate victory for God, is when He took sinful man, you know, that was cut off from Him. Satan thought he had ruined God's plan of creation by getting Eve to to sin, and he introduced sin to the world. But God was able to bring these branches back, and we can be now be a part of the vine again. And I see that as being a victory for God, you know, that these branches can now bring glory to him. They don't need to be thrown away and burned. And also in verse 8 it talks about this is a way that God or that other people will know that we are God's disciples if we're bearing much fruit. You know, as I think about that quote I read earlier, people see Christ by what we do, not by what we say. And so I think they will see that by our fruits. What kind of fruit are we bearing? Is it fruit of God, or is it the fruit of this world? And so in closing, a few thoughts I'd like to leave with you. Hold fast to the vine of Jesus. He is our life. He is the source of our fruit. If we leave the vine of Jesus, we will become an unfruitful branch. And also to rejoice in pruning as he takes away the things that hinder us. That's one thing that really challenged me from this passage was to rejoice in the pruning of God. I tend to look at it as a painful process that's not much fun, but it can produce more fruit for the kingdom of God. And then go forth today and bring forth much fruit to the glory of our eternal Father and build his kingdom. There's nothing that's more exciting than to be a part of God's kingdom and to be producing fruit for him. So I just challenge you to go forth and produce fruit for God. Let's kneel in prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you that your Son Jesus was willing to come to this earth to give his life as a sacrifice for our sins, and that we can now have new life through Jesus. We can experience the joy of your love, the joy of being fruitful in your kingdom. And I just pray that you would give us strength to do that, give us the wisdom to live for you each day. In Jesus' name. You have a song, Ken?
Yeah, let's stand.